interesting drasha from the Sfas Emes in a couple of different places. I've noted this before about the Sfas Emes. I'm sure there's more scholarly discussion about this, but often the Sfas Emes, I relate to the sentiment that the Sfas Emes will oftentimes repeat ideas that he said in years past, but with different angles or new additions. So this is one of those instances where he has something in the first year that are printed in his drashas. The Sfas Emes didn't write a sefer, right? Most Rabbanim from Pshischa didn't write Svarim. There are students, often a lot of Hasidus is like that, although there are some that are particularly publishing heavy. Chabad is very good at publishing their stuff. But Sfas Emes never intended it to be a sefer. So it became a sefer because of his talmidim, and I guess when he would give over his drashas, he would oftentimes use similar material from years past, and that's what the students would write down the next year, not realizing, or maybe not necessarily skipping anything, but writing the same things down a few times. But there's always little nuances here and there that he changed from year to year. We talked about this recently a few weeks ago. Binu shnos dor vador, all right, that every year you have a different bina. Binu shnos dor vador, the years of every generation, the understanding. Binu shnos, every year you come with a new understanding of things. It's very important to realize. We go through the same parashas, we go through the same things every single week, but every year you're a different person. Every year you had a different 12 months of experiences that will give you greater insight into what the parasha is. So you always have to remember that. But so the Sfas Emes in his first year, at least that's recorded here. Oh, not in the first year. I thought it was the first year. No, turns out it's actually later on. But it's different years. Let me see here. Taf Resh Mem Gimel. I can't tell you what English date that is. Sometime in the 1800s. Taf Resh Mem Gimel. He says the following. A very interesting drasha on... where is it? Not at the place, sorry. Okay, here. No, not here. Skipped a page. There it is. Okay. Hold on. Oh, no, I was right the first time. I'm thinking 43, and it's really 34. So it's closer to the 4. I'm sorry. I'm so messed up. 34. So it's the third year. Inyan sukkah kumo chuppah. A sukkah is like a chuppah. You ever see a chuppah? Looks a lot like a sukkah, right? Except the difference is the walls, not exactly walls, whatever. But the reason is very obvious. Shegomeres hakinyan isha labala. It's like a chuppah which sort of concretizes the relationship between a man and a woman, right? Spouses. That if I were to ask you, finish the drasha, right? Go back in time, right? Parallel the holidays that we've had to the courtship of a man and a woman. What would you say? Sukkah is the chuppah, so that means the marriage. And therefore, go backwards. Yom Kippur was? Maybe the ksuba. All right, you can connect Kiddushin. It to the Matan Torah, which happened. Kiddushin, right? Kiddushin potentially happens. Now, the chuppah could also be Kiddushin, potentially depends how you look at it. But let's say Yom Kippur is the time where we engage. We're betrothed to one another, right? This is the time where we make amends, right? Historically, the Jewish people had worshipped the golden calf. On the 17th of Tammuz, Moshe takes a break outside of the camp for 40 days, and then he goes back up to Rosh Chodesh Elul, and then he comes back down on Yom Kippur. Right? When Hashem says, Salati kidvaracha, I've forgiven the Jewish people, I can bring them back, we're now wed to each other again. So what was Rosh Hashanah? Maybe dating. We were getting to know Hashem. Machos echonos shofros. Getting to know Hashem, who Hashem is, the King of the world. Right? So you can understand this drasha in a broader context than just what the Sfas Emes is saying. But says the Sfas Emes, the sukkah is the chuppah. Basukos hoshavti. I brought the Jewish people in. Or, right, Hoshafti means brought them out of Egypt. Because when we left Egypt, we were, by dint of that salvation, we were betrothed to Hashem. I am Hashem who sanctified you. But the drashas on the word mekadishchem could also be a reference to kiddushin, right? Mekadeshes, mekudeshes, right? As we say, you know, as we say, hare at mekudeshes li, right? You are betrothed to me. So says Hashem, ani Hashem mekadishchem. And with that claim that Hashem made, yesh kitrog, there was a whole tumult in the Shemayim and among the other nations. Why should the Jewish people be any greater, be any more choice, greater of a choice than the other nations? And on that, he says, ulmiknehu asasukos. And to that which he, right, where is, anyone know where this is from? Good trivia question. Ulmiknehu asasukos, where is it from? Who's he? Yaakov.
Huh?
Yaakov was coming from?
He was coming toward, before Shechem.
From Lavan's house towards, right? You talked to this with Dov?
Yeah.
Dov talked about this recently. He has a whole shtick on this, yeah. That Yaakov, it stops off in a place, unnamed place, and he made himself a house, and he made for his cattle, lemiknehu mikne, his cattle, for his flock, he made sukkot, he made shelters. That's the first time the word comes up in the Torah. Yaakov makes shelters. A lot of drash can be made out of this Yaakov l'mekneo sasukos. One of them, perhaps off the typical path, is that, and this is potentially, by the way, before we get to Svasam's understanding of it, this is potentially what it means when we talk about the sukkah being a diras arai. It's a flimsier type of shelter. The original sukkah was Yaakov for his cattle. For himself, he made a house, and for his cattle, he made shelter. It must be that those two things are different. The house is more a formidable structure, and the sukkah is more shelter, it's more temporary. So the ulmikneo sasukos literally means he made for his cattle these shelters. But says Hasamis, ulmiknehu, mikne means cattle, yes. What's also mikne? What else could mikne mean? Like liknot, a kinyan, like koneh. Like Hashem is a koneh hakol. It really means he's owner of anything, or he created everything. But miknehu means that which he owns. Ulu miknehu, that which Hashem acquired, meaning the Jewish people, asasukos. He made for them a sukkah. He made for them shelters. He made for them the holiday of sukkahs. Okay. Fast forward. This is Tafresh Lama Dalet. Fast forward to, what year is this? Tafresh Memvav. So 12, 13 years later. So he says, Shamati mi pi Mori Zakeni. Anyone know who's Mori Zakeni when the Svasama says, my teacher, my grandfather, also known as the Chidushi Harim, Rav Yitzchak Meir Alter, the first Gerebi. So I heard from my grandfather, the Pasuk Ulu Mikneu Asasukos Bnei Yisrael Him Kinyan Echad. Wait a second. You didn't say that 12 years ago. 12 years ago, you said that was your own drasha. Right? So Hashem has sometimes had drashas that he had from his really not his father. His father passed away when he was a young boy. But his grandfather had them from Rav Shimcha Ben Mishischa and people before the Choza of Lublin. So through osmosis, he had these ideas. But sometimes you don't necessarily know where they came from. So here, 12 years later, he quotes it from his grandfather, Chidush Harim. L'mikneu asasukos, to that which he acquired, he made sukkas. V'zeh ha-kinyan shebachar kadosh baruch hu banu. That's the kinyan where Hashem chose us. K'dechziv am zukanisa davar zeh tzarech hagana. This is the people that I acquired, and this is something which requires protection. I have to protect my people. V'hu mitzvah sasukah. Ad kan da'ato. Right, and that's the mitzvah of sukkah. V'yesh lomar, what's going on here? Why is it that l'mikneu asasukos? Why is it, right? If you go back, we never actually created this transition. I didn't set up the transition properly enough because he didn't explain it. But why is it that he says, right? There was this big tumult among all the nations. Why are the Jewish people chosen as opposed to all the other nations? It says Hashem, oh, l'mikneu asasukos. To that which he acquired, he made sukkahs. What does that mean? What does one thing have to do with the other? Right? Why would you have to shelter something? Because it's in danger. All the other nations were jealous of the Jewish people. After Mitzrayim, the Jewish people got special treatment. Maybe because Avram Avinu, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, or the whole history of the Jewish people led up to this moment where Hashem gave the Jewish people special treatment. And therefore, Ulumikneu Asasu Kos, He gave us Sukkos as a means of telling us, I'm protecting you. Right? This is our protection. This is a shelter. Just like Yaakov Avinu made protection for his cattle, Hashem makes protection for his Jewish people. That's the Sukkah. The Sukkah is our protection directly under the guidance of Hashem. V'yesh Lomar says, the Sfas Emes, Mishum Tibi Yom HaKippur, Malach Ra'one Amen Ba'Korcho. Right? The Yetzer Hara is looking at us on Yom Kippur and saying, oh, these guys, I'm going to get them good. It's the Yom HaDin, it's Judgment Day. It's time for them to really get it good. To get their due, their comings, what's it called? You know, their consequences for their actions. So then all of a sudden, what does it say? Lifnei Hashem Titaru. Hashem says, actually, I'm going to keep you guys, right? Yeah, I'm going to keep you, you're mine, and you're still pure. So who's upset at that? The Yetzer Hara is upset, right? He wanted blood, right? He wanted Hashem to really have it in for us. All of a sudden, he has to say, according to the Sfas Emes, I don't know where this is from, Ona Amin Bal Karcha, we have a similar phrase when it comes to Shabbos, but I don't know where this is from for Yom Kippur. Right? Originally, Balak also, even though he wanted to curse the Jewish people, ended up blessing the Jewish people. So too, the Malach on Yom Kippur wants to curse the Jewish people, wants to see them, you know, get punished, but he has to agree with what Hashem says. So a similar way, there is a certain ayin hara that's being placed on the Jewish people. V'chein hu mitzvah sukkah achar yom gipurim shakadosh baruch hu magin aleinu me'eno shel osa rasha. Hashem is protecting us from that ayin hara, from those who want to do ill towards us. Because of hatzileinu na miyadachim yad Esav, that's also Yaakov, right? Save me from Esav. Not only do I need protection from the physical problems, but also from the atmosphere, from his connections to me. Right? When it says Hatzileinu Mia, Hatzileinu Na, it should have just said Mi'esav. Why does it say Hatzileinu Na Miad Achi Miad Esav? So it says the Sfas Emes, it's not just that he wanted protection from the physical, but even from the kinship, Miad Achi, from the brotherhood. Don't have me affected by his closeness, not only in a physical sense, but also in a brother sense, the people that I associate with. After he's with Esav, Yaakov goes back to Sukkah, to that same place, Sukkos, that he made for the cattle. We know that, just to add a little bit to this, we know that the holiday of Sukkos, we say Hallel, full Hallel every single day. Why do we say a full Hallel every single day? On Pesach, we say a full Hallel only on the first day, here and only on the first 2 days. But then the rest of Pesach, we say a half Hallel, right? An abridged Hallel. Why do we say a full one all day of Sukkos? Michael, you should know this one.
I should know this one.
Because we bring different
all 7 days.
Well, we bring Karbanos to Pesach also, but they're always different on Sukkos.
Right.
Right? We start with what, 13?
13,
12, 11, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, and then, did we get to 7? I don't remember. But the point is that it adds up. Yeah, it has to be 7 because the 13 adds with the 7 to make a round number of 70. Right? So you make the number 70. What's the number 70 representative of? Okay, Sanhedrin, good. But more apropos to our drasha tonight, the 70 nations of the world in a figurative sense. Right, 70 nations of the world is what we're sort of representing all of the other nations of the world, the non-Jewish nations. We're representing them inside of the holiday of Sukkos. Right, we're giving them an ode. We're the ones that are being protected, but we're also sort of giving them an ode to all the other nations. But on Shemini Atzeres, what happens? Everyone else goes away, and it's just the Jewish people. Right, Shemini Atzeres, that one day where Hashem says, at least according to Rashi, according to Midrash, this is the day I want just the Jewish people with me. I don't want any of the other nations. So the same thing, Hashem gives us the special holiday of Sukkot to show us that He's protecting us, specifically us. It's true there are other nations in the world, and they have their place in the world. We bring all the korbanos for them too. But on Shmini Atzeres, the holiday of Sukkot, is a time where Hashem protects us from all those other nations. And then when all those other nations leave, we have just Shmini Atzeres to enjoy together. That's a little bit of an extension. What?
What does that mean, just us?
The Jewish people.
What does that mean, just protecting the Jewish people? Just that one day? The other,
okay.
This is an opportunity for the Jews to attack other nations.
No, you know how.
Yeah, I don't think it's
at the end of a wedding. You have a wedding, all the guests are invited, and then everybody leaves, and the family just kind of hangs out together.
Well, yeah, but he's saying about the Sukkot idea. That's true for sure. You're right about that also. That the people stay back. Those are the closest, right?
Yeah.
But I think what Jason is asking, what is this protection that's going only on the Sukkot? So I don't think it's necessarily that there's no protection other times, but this is a time where Hashem has to express it more explicitly, because that's where a greater danger. Meaning other times, Hashem's always protecting us, but there's no one attacking us the other times. Sukkah specifically, we have other nations that are sort of pining for our destruction. Either the Malach HaMaves, or the Yetzer Hara on Yom Kippur, or it's the fact that Hashem has now taken us as a spouse after Har Sinai, right? He's forgiven us again. So there, it's a time which is particularly vulnerable for the Jewish people. Not that He doesn't protect us the other times, but this is the time where the vultures come, right? This is the time where it's particularly more dangerous. Anyone know the song "Higher and Higher" by Yehuda? Exclamation point! No, it's about the dove.
You sing it, Jordan.
Go ahead. Higher and higher, higher than the sky, higher and higher, it's as high as you can fly. Well, the story is all about the dove, right? We just incorporated it into our repertoire when we go to sleep with my kids on Friday night. We sing a different song, different English song. So this is one of the songs that we sing, if they vote for it that Friday night. And so it's all about the dove who was placed in the forest, right? To sing and to be sort of the crown jewel of the forest. The only problem is that all the other animals were jealous of him. Right? This is the song, you know. All the animals were jealous when they saw the dove's new wings. It was as if Hashem was telling them that the dove would be their king. Right? All the other nations were jealous of the dove. They're getting special treatment from Hashem. So all the other animals pounce upon the dove. Right? And the dove says, wait, Hashem, what's going on here? You put me here to be special and everyone's attacking me. So Hashem says, you have to use your wings. Gemara in Brachos tells us, what are the wings of the dove? Torah and mitzvos. Einan etzolin el bechnafeha. That the wings of the dove are meant to be there so that the dove can fly, that the dove can be saved. So the whole song is about how the dove has to develop that strength to use its wings. If you use your wings for flying, they'll never weigh you down. That's what the lyrics are. And you'll go at so much higher than those who live upon the ground. Right, the Jewish people live b'shamayim, hazino b'shamayim v'adabera. The Jewish people live at a higher standard, a higher responsibility, but therefore they have that special protection from Hashem. Also, if we do the right things, if we look at the sukkah that way, we understand that Hashem is protecting us, even though it might seem like a flimsier structure. It's the most significant protection we have year round, because we know that we're in the direct hands of Hashem, as opposed to the stone and mortar that we have year round. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful sukkah and a wonderful Shabbos.